Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello and welcome to the latest edition of ESSR feature here on the Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet podcasting network. I'm your host this week, Stephen Wilson, and we are going to be delving into a topic this week that's now a bit more redundant than it probably was when we originally put this schedule together, as we are going to be talking about the battle that kind of took place over the last 18 or so months. Is it 18 months? It's felt like a decade because of the blooming pandemic. We're going to be talking about AEW versus NXT. It's still a conversation that's kind of got still a bit of relevance, as they're both kind of similar products in some way, in some eyes, even though they're no longer showing on the same night in America. So we're going to be delving into them. We're going to be talking a bit more about, you know, things about the match quality in terms of the wrestlers that they've got on there, the rosters, you know, how they built the pay-per-views. We're just going to talk about how well they both of them do. I mean, often it's just settled in America by ratings, but we're going to delve into a bit more. But before we get started on that, I'll give you the usual bit of housekeeping. You can find us on all good podcasting platforms, Spotify, iTunes, anything else, you know, just search for us, Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. You can also find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Suplex Retweet. You can also find us on YouTube, loads of content on there, Quiz Showdown, Book It Tournament, loads of stuff on that particular platform. And we've also got a U brand spanking website. I say U, it's the same website with the old U domain. I'm not going to make it sound like this whole big brand spanking thing. It's eatsleepsuplexretweet.com. You can find loads of content on there. Now I'm going to be introducing my panel for this particular show. I've kind of got a bit of a mix in terms of the way people watch products they're watching at the moment, so this is quite good in terms of that. First off, this person seems to be more swayed on the AEW side of things at the moment, not just because Christian Cage has signed for that company, although that's probably a particular reason. I'm still a bit annoyed at her, as I feel she screwed me out of a point on the latest edition of Quiz Showdown. It is, of course, Sarah Grieve.
Christian had nothing to do with it. I was a big fan of AEW before the, you know, Instant Classic decided that he was going to jump ship and go to where he is appreciated more, and you were not screwed out of a point.
You'd always a point for effort. I believe I put on a fantastic effort singing Judas by Chris Jericho and Fozzy.
Yeah, right. See, if you'd made an effort to try and sing a Disney song, I might have given you it. But because you chose to defy me, Stephen, to defy me, you didn't get a point.
Listen, go on to YouTube, listen to it. Sarah was very vague. She said, yeah, I'll give you a point for effort. So I thought, bugger it, I'll sing the first song that comes in my head. It should have been a Disney song, to be fair, because we weren't doing a Disney themed round of quizzes. But
exactly. I asked you to sing Be Our Guest from Beauty and the Beast. Like the best known song from that soundtrack.
Even if you did sing the song, you probably would have butchered it.
I butchered every song. I don't really.
It would have got a point for effort.
Butchered every song. I don't really care.
Yeah, you ruined Journey, Don't Stop Believing. Like, I could never listen to that song again.
I really had to know that. He's here. He's got some opinions, you know, clearly, about my choice of music. My choice of singing, sorry. But through him, the Undisputed Era's not a thing anymore. David Hockney, everybody.
Shot for shot, eh? But I never complained about your choice of song. I'm complaining about your singing, okay? Like, just, you cannot sing for shit.
Hold on to that feeling, Dave, over the rest of the show. You know, it's going to be great. You know, streetlights and all that crap. Rounding off my panel, I kind of take him as a bit more of the middleman in terms of these shows. He was big into NXT during the day, really into the AEW product right now, until 10 minutes before we come on air, he thought he was going to have to talk about Raw. So he'll be pleased that it's NXT. It's Strack, everybody.
Right, a few things. I feel like I'm going to cut a promo here. Sarah, I've never seen Beauty and the Beast. Never. Never seen that. So if someone
hold on, let me turn Percy inside out.
Never seen it. Dude, Wilson, you want to talk about losing points? How you miraculously beat me at the Book It tournament when I had a fucking display graph, matches book, theme music set up, and you had a piece of paper, you still fucked up, and won. So, if you want to see a new version of the Montreal Screwjob, go to YouTube and watch Book It.
Yeah, really. You must have been really.
Folks, you can't sing worth a shit, and you can't dance worth a shit either. So,
yeah, like, I second
I'm
that.
Like, I'm like a dad dancing. You can't talk about people dancing, Hockney. I could do the shuffle.
Folks, Hockney, you danced on an empty dance floor at 10 o'clock in the garage when there was no one else in there. You say to me, "What do we do?" I says, "We get a couple of drinks and we're going to dance floor." I turn around 10 seconds later, you're on the dance floor, we're drinking hand, and nobody else on the dance floor.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why he's known as the most savage man in podcasting.
No one.
I mean,
yeah, like, technically, that angle, you look at the guy at a fucking Maroon 5, so that kind of bailed you a couple of things.
I mean, before we move on to the actual topic, he did have two drinks. He had two drinks there, so technically he's had a couple of drinks and dancing.
It was an empty dance floor. There was nobody else there. There's been people in the toilet that there wasn't a dance floor.
Anywho, before this becomes ESSR After Dark,
let's be honest,
these things tend to descend into that. Let's delve into the topic. We're going to be talking about AEW versus NXT. As I said when we kicked off the show, when we did originally do this schedule, the two of these shows were still competing on a Wednesday night. But now that's no longer a thing, but it's still worth definitely having a discussion about it. We're going to talk about a few various aspects of the two products. One thing I'm going to start off with in terms of everything is the match quality that we kind of see on both various programs. Sarah, I will start with you on this particular one, and we'll talk about the NXT side of things. Obviously NXT bit different from anything else you really see in a WWE product in terms of there's more wrestling to start with, you know, which obviously made that the product that everybody loved as well, you know, the NXT.
Yeah, the product on NXT when you were just saying that, it's like it's different. I was just like, yeah, it's better. Just simple as. But like, unfortunately, I haven't been watching as much NXT lately as I would like to. Mainly because I don't have BT Sport and I can't watch unless I download it. But no, when you're looking at like the match qualities, like just by going like with the pay-per-view matches, it has been like dead impressive. Like you feel like you get more for what you pay for with NXT, whereas like if you were to diverge that into the main roster, you're sitting going, I paid $9.99 a month for this. Whereas I would happily pay $9.99 a month for just NXT pay-per-views. Happily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Strack, that was actually a good point that I made there. It was kind of like the NXT product with a wrestling style was kind of a big draw to a lot of people in terms of the WWE Network when it first launched.
I mean, the thing that made NXT appealing when it first started was you had guys like Finn Balor, Neville. You had a lot of guys whose style wasn't WWE. It wasn't 6 foot one guys just clotheslining each other, a couple of elbows, a couple of gut shots, and then a finish. In my opinion, a lot of them were shit. But you had a lot of people knew for the indie guys, but indie matches people slagged them, but they're main entertaining, far more entertaining. There's matches that they can do on NXT, sometimes only last 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and they're more entertaining than some of the matches that go half an hour, 35 minutes on the WWE pay-per-views. Because it's more structured, it's better storytelling, and the guys that do the stuff, there's more variety through it. So there's something kind of in for everybody. You've got submission guys, heavy strikers, Nakamura, Joe, you've got the Five Flyers, Neville, Balor, you had the Brawlers, Owens, you had the guys who are Spot Monkeys, Sami Zayn. So you had so many different talents all mixing together. So that's what made it appealing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Dave, it's quite interesting. Daniel Bryan recently said in an interview that, you know, there's a lot of guys on WWE's roster who, you know, can wrestle, but they don't wrestle as much because their product on Raw and SmackDown is less catered to that particular type of style. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of what we don't... It seems like at NXT, they kind of get the, you know, there's no strings attached type aspect of it. They're just kind of told to go out there and do as they please, which you don't often think you see with the main roster product, especially Raw. I mean, I'm going to give SmackDown a bit of credit because I quite like SmackDown recently, but Raw was a bit duff.
Yeah, SmackDown's been great as of late, but obviously, I think what helped with NXT in its earlier days, you know, around its 2012 revamp, is that they were sort of filming it in chunks and they were sort of releasing episodes on a week-by-week basis, even though most of it was filmed in a couple of nights. And that's the format that works with NXT UK at the minute, so you don't get all the talent competing week in and week out. And I think that's what helps not only improve talent morale, but it also improves match quality at the same time, because they get a bit more time in between tapings to, you know, work on their match quality, you know, hone their craft. And that's what sort of made NXT sort of the more, you know, sports-based presentation brand, you know, something that was focused purely on the in-ring action and the much more grounded storylines. And I've always said this about NXT, you know, less is more when it comes to them. Just give two guys who are excellent at what they do and sort of give them a reason to go up against each other and just let the much more intimate and crowd enjoy it and get involved with it as much as they can.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something there? Just, I've always said that. I agree with Dave 100%. I have said that the matches for Raw and SmackDown, obviously post-COVID, the reason why I don't think there's entertaining is because these guys are doing house shows, pay-per-views, then they're doing Raw and SmackDown. The guys are beat up the shit out. You look at the guys who used to do great matches back in the day. They wrestled for 5 years and their bodies were destroyed. But as I think, as Dave says, see if the schedule was less hectic, I think Raw and SmackDown would be better, because the guys in NXT, they're not getting ran through as badly. So they're not as beat up and they go, well, I can do that in this match and I can do this in this match because my knee's not blew out, my shoulder's not dislocated, I've not had 3 concussions this weekend. So that's actually the way, Dave, that's a massive thing I've always said.
You can see how it's changed, you know, when, you know, you get people moving from NXT to the main roster as well. Like, they're often reduced to sort of tag team action. Case in point, like Shayna Baszler, who is the sole dominant female performer in NXT around 2019. But now she's working a much lighter schedule. You know, she's, you know, sort of getting the weight sort of lifted off her shoulders a bit with tag team action, because, you know, she's going to be competing more regularly on a week-by-week basis. And it's not the same for when NXT was in its earlier days.
Look at Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens was really innovative with moves and stuff like that, and see, since main roster, he's kind of, the biggest thing he does is like this cannonball in the corner, that's it. I'm like, what happened to the guy that was flinging Sami Zayn about? What happened to the guy that was kicking the shit out of Balor? Where's he?
He's now still kicking shit out of Sami Zayn.
What's Sami Zayn doing? He's not doing it either.
He's joined QAnon now.
Ah, jeez. But I'll flip on to the other side of things on AEW, Sarah. And I think Strack mentioned a lot of things about the early days of NXT, where you had the likes of Balor, Neville, and that type of thing on it. And obviously, there was a big part of NXT in that early days was the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And he was obviously credited as a big part of what NXT started and what NXT's become. And obviously in AEW, there's a big connection to the American Dream. Dusty Rhodes played a very prominent part in that company in the form of his son, Cody. Do you think the fact that these two companies have such a figurehead that are so closely linked is why they're probably very similar in terms of what they offer?
I mean, I wouldn't say that they offer too much similarity between the two brands, but I can see where the connection could be made. Because obviously Cody grew up in the industry. Like, there's no two ways about it. He literally grew up in the industry. And his dad was a really big influence for a lot of things. So, yeah, he's going to have the same mindset. And he probably actually worked and saw what his dad was doing in NXT at the time, because he hadn't fully left the company. And obviously, even when he did and it was still going on, he would have still known. It's the same with Dustin. So I think like there is like the connection there. But when it comes to like TV match quality with AEW, it is extremely similar to NXT in the fact that they don't do house shows. Like, they'll do tours around the country to do a show, but it won't be to the extreme of what Raw and SmackDown is. Because you'll have the dark match, and then you'll have Dynamite, or you'll have the actual pay-per-view. So it's a lot easier to bring a bigger match quality, especially if your guys are only travelling once a week to get down to Jacksonville.
It's even once a fortnight now, I think, isn't it? Because I think they're recording 2 weeks worth of content on the one night at the moment because of the COVID stuff, just so they've got, you know, a bit of bulk, because it kind of covers the quarantine period in case anything gets done in as well. So you go to Jacksonville once.
Yeah, it does seem a lot more edited these days.
I mean, best friends, they've done 3 matches in 24 hours.
Mad.
Oh, yeah, but...
like, we've got a week off.
Oh, they rattled through that. That was very early in the COVID stuff, wasn't it? That was last year or something like that was. You know, but that was something else, you know. Imagine they did 3 matches and one of them was that parking lot brawl with the Proud and Powerful. It'd be absolutely bust.
I haven't done it because it's see the adrenaline's pumping through you, you don't feel the pain. Because see, I've wrestled, and see, you do a show on the Friday, see if you got a show on the Saturday, you're in fucking agony. Your body's killing you. Even if you've not done a heavy match, and then the next night you have to go back in and do it again, and you're like, ah, my knee's killing me, my back, my neck's fucked with bumping. But you're like, ah, you need to do it again. Sometimes some of the guys you need to kind of give them a bit of respect for.
And in AEW was like, you know, right at the start of the pandemic as well, they taped about 6 weeks of episodes before last year's, I think it was Double or Nothing, where they spent about 6 weeks at a wrestling school in Georgia, and then it was only until early May when live events were allowed to resume. That's when they moved to Daly's place. So it's the taping of episodes definitely is a contributing factor to, you know, match quality on both sides.
And Strack, one thing, we're not here to bash Raw, but Raw's the easy target, so I'm going to use Raw.
It's like punching somebody in the dark. It's a victimless crime.
You watch Raw, and it's like, right, it's 3 hours, which is the problem. But again, I'm not here to criticise the Raw 3 hours, even though it needs to be 2. But you watch Raw quite a lot of the time, and it's very much, you're about 40 minutes in, and nobody's, you know, then a drop kick, yeah. But sometimes you feel like you watch AEW and the show kicks off and the guys are in the ring and they're going to kick off in British, so the rest of half an hour, and then you're maybe going to get about four or five other matches at the show. So it's kind of that, I think that wrestling first aspect is quite refreshing, because some great memories I've had of watching some WWE stuff, they've had a lot of matches very early on in their card. I mean, one show in particular was the night that Neville challenges Rollins for the world title, which pretty much kicked off that show, and it's one of the best Raws I think I've remembered in the past 10 years. So having that aspect of it's very good for the demographic they're trying to please.
Sorry, what was your question? You didn't ask me a question, you just told me about something.
I'm talking about the wrestling first aspect of it. It's probably what helps to appease the demographic that they're trying to get.
Aye, like, if you, that's how much I little up eventually the actual WWE. Raw is 3 hours now.
So it's been 3 hours for a while, yeah.
For about 10 years, it's been 3 hours nearly.
Has it?
Yep.
Wow.
2012.
What, you see the thing is, doesn't matter how good it is, see Game of Thrones is 3 hours, you're going to sit 3 hours and watch that? No. Fuck that. Even Justice League, Snack Snyder Cut was 4 hours, and that was brilliant, but that was still a gauntlet. Why would you watch... What? Right, WrestleMania 14, I keep saying, is one of the best WrestleManias ever. That's about 3 hours. And they had umpteen matches and very little promos. So what the fuck are Raw doing? Unless they're having a match, they're having matches that are only lasting maybe 12 minutes. You're having, what? How many matches are on Raw now between that 3 years?
Four or five, maybe.
What's the rest?
Promos.
It's a lot of promo.
Jesus fuck.
Oh, gosh.
Look, I don't know how you guys watch that. I really don't know how you do.
We don't.
Because I'm starting to look like Jesus here.
YouTube highlights on WWE's YouTube channel.
Yeah, we just watch the highlights.
I go on Instagram. I go on Instagram before I go to work in the morning. That's like 10 minutes. Fuck 3 hours. That's giving me a sad arse just thinking about it. I'm not bashing WWE, but no, that there's no way. Even when AEW went to tours, I went, I used to like it when it was an hour, because the women would fall asleep and I could watch the full show and she'd wake up and be like, hiya, and I've watched it in peace.
Are you talking about Dark by chance?
Or is that 2 hours now?
That's about 4 hours. Dark is a long watch.
I think a Dark, I'm pretty sure I just fucking skimmed through. I'm like, ah, fast forward, push, don't need that. Don't know who he
Sarah,
is.
Do you still watch that? Do you still watch that?
Every now and again, it's more the fact that, like, me and Daniel just sort of, we highlight on watching AEW and Impact every week. Like, that's the two that we'll go out of our way to watch, but that's because AEW, obviously, we have Fight, and with Impact, we have the Impact Plus app, and Impact only like an hour. So if we were to watch every single day of the week, it would be way too much. So that's why, like, we focus, because we like what's going on there. So that's why we primarily focus on those two. Mm. Also, the fact it's really, really easy to access it. So,
yeah, I mean, if you look at, I think we spent about a good 5 minutes there bashing Raw, so I'm going to maybe try and flip and do a bit of kind of productive there. I'm going to go to Dave on this one, because I know Dave's not as Dave's more of the WWE mark of the panel on this particular one.
I was going to say, you calling him more productive than us?
No, I definitely prefer NXT over Raw. Well, maybe not SmackDown, but definitely Raw. So, but yeah, more what NXT.
Is, if you look at, we've mentioned there, kind of NXT Dynamite, very wrestle heavy shows, which kind of helps, but in terms of NXT, Dave, I think one of the differences between that and Dynamite is you watch sometimes AEW's content like that and you feel like you maybe need to follow about three other different shows at times to figure out what's maybe going on, whereas I think NXT is a bit more streamlined, which in a way kind of helps it to some degree.
Yeah, like I said, NXT is a lot more sort of ground-based when it comes to storylines and wrestling. You know, less is more, simplicity is key. And, you know, Triple H has, you know, his direction is working brilliantly for them. I mean, not to say NXT is without flaw, because, you know, there are definitely some aspects that it could work on. But the benefit of NXT is you don't have to rely on, you know, watching Raw or SmackDown, you know, because NXT is sort of its own little world and not the biggest of rosters either. And I think that's what lets AEW down a bit. It's because it's sort of taken on the helm of acting as, you know, it's one company with one key promotion, with one key brand spread across about four different shows, and it accumulates about 8 hours of TV a week. That's a lot of ground to cover for, well, what is a really, really good wrestling show? There's just too much to try and absorb. Whereas NXT feels a lot more personal. It's like, this is our one show. We're going to put all our attention on the branding here. Our roster is going to be, all our roster is going to be performing there. And then we'll rotate it. And we're going to have a much more intimate audience, so that, you know, this is, it almost feels like there's a little bit of exclusivity about it. And I think that's why people want to sort of be a part of it so much. And I think that's where NXT has the edge over AEW in a lot of ways.
Interesting. I would put that on Twitter, Dave. You may get a lot of very dodgy people coming back.
I don't want to be dealing with Twitter these days. It just seems to be just a pool of hatred right now.
Oh, recently, I've deleted all social media. I've deleted TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. I've deleted all social media. I've only Facebook. Mm. Fuck that.
I keep Instagram for my not so existent travel adventures, but you know, when the pandemic ends, I'll be back straight on it.
I've got my Instagram for Jotunheim for my business, jotunheim.co.uk, if anybody wants to look it up.
Nice cheap plug there. But Strack, I'll throw back to you on that one. I mean, we'll get that the Dynamite is a pretty... Oh my god.
Yeah, Sarah's just put up her Twitter feed saying that I suck, apparently.
So,
well, you said catering, I needed to do it.
Back to the question to Strack. Do you think some... I mean, obviously, we're all not denying that Dynamite's a really good product, but I can sometimes understand them maybe interacting with maybe Dark and Dark Elevation, but do you feel that they maybe interact too much with being the Elite and kind of rely too much on that to build storylines?
That's a perfect question, Stephen, because that's the answer I was going to give you anyway, regardless of what you said you asked. No, me and Ross spoke about this previously in one of the AEW shows. It is a bit annoying that they put stuff on being the Elite and you don't. Like, I say I love AEW, not because it's new or it's to be a mark or fucking annoy WWE or anything like that. It's just refreshing and it's new and it's entertaining. It's more my style. But I don't always watch Being the Elite. I think the one Being the Elite I seen before AEW started was the Kenny Omega dick pic.
Ah.
And that was like 2 years before AEW even started. And then I've started to watch a couple of EWs because one of the boys in Mark's like, oh, it's quite funny that he's done this, he's done this. So watch the occasional one. But when something pops up and you're like, I don't know what that is. And my mate in work will say, oh, it was on Being the Elite, he done this. I'm like, I did not know that. And I'm not going to watch 25 minutes of Being the Elite to find out what the fuck happened. So I'm like, well, I'm pretty sure I'll see the promo when the pay-per-view starts.
The one that annoyed me, I mean, some of the stuff they do is quite just cheap, you know, funny stuff. I mean, Sarah will tell you that. She's a big Dark Order fan. Everybody knows that. But I really did not like the time where, was it Hangman Page leaves the Elite on Being the Elite? And it's just kind of, he shows up on Dynamite quite casually, just doing his own thing. It's like, you could have had him leave them on Dynamite and have a storyline.
They get close to 1 million viewers like every week. You know, why... then it's a much bigger audience than you get on YouTube.
See, with Being the Elite though, this is the thing, it's a comedy sketch show that is just something that the Young Bucks like to do when they're backstage. They may have a couple of things that might end up being involved on Dynamite, but I don't think that's the actual goal of it. I know, like, having Hangman leave the Elite technically on Being the Elite, but it was a current storyline on Dynamite at that particular time. It just so happened that they did it on that. So I think for saying that they rely on Being the Elite a little bit for their storylines is a little bit too much of a judgment, because they do split it over shows. Like, I will admit, they'll say, right, okay, for example, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky becoming a tag team. That happened on Dark Elevation, but they explain it. Like, see when they do showing them in the crowd or saying they're attacking them. We knew that Scorpio Sky was turning heel anyway. Like, we knew that from when he started trying to beat up Darby Allin post-match and using heel tactics to beat him. But it just so happened that they two came together on Dark Elevation, but they still explain it in a way. Like, I think that's the good part where Tony Schiavone obviously being on it works, but Excalibur does his homework, and this is where the commentary becomes a big part, and this is where I think JR lets them down, because he refuses to acknowledge it. Unless you're Jake Hager, he will not acknowledge you.
I don't know. I don't want to talk about Jake Hager. Okay, I'm veering into criticism, but I don't want to veer into criticism thing. I thought maybe I was maybe being a bit harsh on Being the Elite, but because I really like when Macchietto was dancing with the Dark Order. I thought it was amazing.
Exactly. Well, he gets some funny things, and that's how Macchietto that's how he got his fame, as being the funny member of the Dark Order. Johnny Hungy.
I really wish Macchietto was stuck around.
John Silver is the gift from Being the Elite is John Silver.
Oh, 100%.
Fucking hilarious. Freaked me out when I realised he was 5'3". I was like, how is he so built? but it looks so compact. And I googled it and I'm like, he's like 5 foot two.
I mean,
wait, is that his actual height or is that his actual height or is that his build?
No, he's actual 5 foot three.
He's a very small man, but he is
a very small man.
He's smaller than Rey Mysterio.
It's the same height.
He'd beat you up. He'd be able to lift you on your head.
What's her name? Leah Hinch? Leah Hesh?
Leah Hart, yeah.
She's like 4 foot 11.
Well, see,
how's her legs so short?
She's one that they use dark and dark elevation quite smartly for, because they did try her out on TV and maybe she didn't quite connect with that audience. So that's basically, think of dark and dark elevation as new revamp of NXT, of where they get people ready for cameras and get them ready for like the big matches on Dynamite and then get dry. And there's a lot of them that have actually been working their way up on dark, and they're like, right, we'll give you a chance to obviously be on Dynamite, because not everyone's going to be on Dynamite every week. I mean, you see Jon Moxley kicking around on dark elevation and on dark. You see Jurassic Express, you see Dark Order, you see everybody, like even Hangman Page and Kenny Omega's had a match on dark elevation. So it just sort of helps in a way, but it's like, if you want to see it, the stuff's there. It just doesn't fully impact unless they do make a mention of it.
Yeah, Straxera makes a good point there. I kind of compare it, because AEW are doing that quite well with a lot of guys coming up through that type of, you know, they start them there and they kind of go and they'll eventually end up in Dynamite. I feel like NXT some points recently, in the last couple of years more especially, aren't doing that as well, because I kind of feel like you look at the likes of Bronson Reed, for example, you feel like he's been there for about a year and a half, 2 years, and he's only just getting the kind of title picture. Swerve Scott, for example, is a guy who is not really feel like he's moving up. He's kind of plateauing at that level as well. So do you think that's something maybe NXT could probably learn a bit more from AEW in terms of building up the kind of lower card into really big stars?
I think NXT are kind of a victim of their own success. NXT was kind of a place where I know the people like Nakamura, Joe, no developmental talent, but they went there first to kind of get used to it and then go up. But NXT was kind of meant to be the developmental, where the guys get used to, like Lars Sullivan, he'd done, obviously, post what the shit happened to him, but he'd done the normal crowd shows with NXT, and there was how many people in the crowd for NXT? It's
a few hundred, maybe?
300 at the very most.
It's not a lot, so he's fine. It was totally cool. But then he put him in a live show in front of fucking all the people in SmackDown or Raw, and the guy freaked out. And Big Cass said he'd done the same. A lot of guys in the wrestling say, oh, I hate them bingo halls, I'd love to do a crowd 18,000. It's like, would you? Because I guarantee, seeing you walk out and you see all the people staring at you, your arse collapses. So it's, I get what Sarah's saying, it's kind of a place to get the guys used to being in front of camera, used to what they're looking like, because then obviously look back at themselves and go, my gear could they be doing my tweeting? Because have you noticed that in wrestling, guys who come straight from indies into AEW or come to NXT, their gear looks a bit iffy. And then air time, it gets more polished, it gets more cleaner, it looks more professional, because they're getting, oh, that doesn't look right, I don't suit kick pads, I may be better with longer trunks, shit like that. And they go, alright, oh, I need, and oh, that doesn't look well on camera, because there's moves that you do and you think, oh, I'll knock him the fuck out, and you do the move and watch it back and you go, I barely touched him. So I think that's probably what's good, but as Sarah says, elevation, the guys are getting a look at themselves, kind of like a practice before hitting the big show, but before going out there in front of the bigger audience and going, I really fucked up here. Because it happened a lot of time with WCW. They'd bring in developmental guys, bring them in front of a crowd, and they would fuck up monumentally.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, a counter example maybe on the NXT side of things, Strick kind of mentioned Shinsuke Nakamura. Guy comes in from Japan, absolutely massive star, fantastic wrestler. But we've mentioned in past shows, the one we did on Nakamura, that maybe when his time at NXT didn't quite feel like he hit off the mark in terms of that one. Then he goes to SmackDown and kind of flounders for a wee bit. Maybe because he was maybe not getting as regular, maybe he's still accustomed to it. But you look at maybe some of the guys who show up on the likes of Dark, you know, and Dark Elevation to begin with, even Dynamite to an extent, you know, they're indie guys. You kind of know their faces, but it takes them a wee bit to adjust. Another a great example I'll give, actually, because I think he's amazing. Ricky Starks, for example. You could have seen him. He kicked about Dark for a while, was on maybe a couple of, you know, opening matches on Dynamite. Now he's in with, gets in with Team Taz, and this might, Strap might not like me saying this, I think he's better than Brian Cage in that particular stable. So, you think that's maybe something, what's your thoughts on that, Dave?
You love.
you make a good point about, you know, guys, you know, who are suited to a specific environment, and then they sort of come in with this whirlwind of momentum, but when push comes to shove, they don't really sort of hit that point. And I get that, you know, it comes down to, you know, maybe a change in environment. In some cases, you know, these world-renowned talents are having to move to another country entirely. That's a huge adjustment on its own. Like in Nakamura's case, you know, maybe language barrier might have been a thing at first, but, you know, his English has gradually improved over time. But if I'm going to focus on Nakamura specifically, I think what let him down was that he peaked right at the start. Like, because there was no way any other match in NXT was going to top that match with Sami Zayn take over Dallas. So everybody knew sort of Shinsuke was on a massive high coming into NXT, and they were expecting him to deliver that kind of quality week in, week out. But when it just wasn't happening, you know, I think maybe that's why people started to potentially sour on him a little bit. But you have to consider, you know, he's not born and raised in America. He's not used to the WWE style. He's very much New Japan, which is a much more, you know, the strong style, hard-hitting promotion, whereas WWE is a lot more toned down, a lot more PG. So having to make all those changes in the space of such a short space of time, you're obviously not going to hit your stride every time. And when you do slip up, it's quite difficult to bounce back from, especially when you're sort of so far in to this much bigger audience, whether it's in an arena or worldwide. And it could be attributed the same way, you know, with AEW. You know, you get a flurry of these independent talents who, you know, diehard independent wrestling fans will know exactly who they are and what they're capable of. But they sort of get put into a position where the rosters become so massive that they hardly get any proper screen time. And that goes doubly, you know, when they're performing in front of an audience that they're not usually accustomed to. So a lot of these factors together can actually harm both companies in a way. It's just a matter of, you know, sort of easing them into this new world, this new dynamic. And that's where they'll learn how to sort of hone their craft in this new environment.
But say the thing though is, the product, when they do get out there, the guys that get out there regularly, even the guys that don't get out there regularly, they'll put on a lot of fantastic matches. I mean, one of the things that both these brands have done particularly well since they started respectively is tag team wrestling. And I think pre-NXT, pre-Indie Boom, obviously pre-AEW, we were used to tag team wrestling being treated like absolute guff. But I think what we saw, particularly in that period of NXT between maybe about 2015 to 2018 or something, they had absolutely fantastic. And I kind of feel like they've just, feels like they've kind of handed the baton to AEW in the last couple of years, going like, hey, you take it, you deal with it, and we'll, you know, book the Forgotten Sons and that type of stuff, so forget about them. You know, are you glad that these two brands have given tag team wrestling the platform they deserve?
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at it, like, for people from like Alan's point of view, he hates tag team wrestling, and I was the same, but it's only because you're subjected to actual pish when you're watching Raw and SmackDown. You've either got like thrown together tag teams, or tag teams that are no chemistry, or tag teams that have fizzled out, or them that have been overexposed, and you're like, I can't stand them, getting them off my screen. Kind of like Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler, no shade.
I was just going to say that.
Who's a new tag team? What's Dolph Ziggler doing? I'm glad you threw shade at them and not the Raw tag champions. Nobody gives grief to Omos and Mafic when I'm here.
Yeah, don't be hating on Omos.
I love big Omos. What a guy.
I did not hate on Omos. But anyway, so when it comes to especially AEW, like, I've said this time and time and time again, that their tag division is probably the best in the world. Like, you've got the best of the independents. I mean, maybe push aside some of the tag teams that are in Impact, but now with that partnership, we could possibly do it, and it could possibly make me the happiest person in the world.
Just not the Good Brothers. Oh, not the Good Brothers. I'm fed up with the Good Brothers.
I meant
Good Brothers are more Impact than AEW.
I mean, I want the machine guns
in AEW.
Oh, you know, and exactly. So, like, you've got that, and then when you look at AEW, you've got the Young Bucks, who are obviously what arguably one of the best tag teams in the entire world. You've got Jurassic Express, even through tag teams or by singles. Jungle Boy is going to be the face of that company. Hear me say it. I will stand and I will take that to my grave, that Jungle Boy is the future of that company, right? And then you've got teams like
FTR.
Well, yeah, you've got FTR. I mean, even Varsity Blondes, which they're Death not Triangle. Quite there yet, but they are great. Death Triangle. You've got Inner Circle. You've obviously Santana and Ortiz. You've got so many, and even Best Friends. I mean, you've got Best Friends.
Mm-hmm. Hybrid 2.
Like, you've got.
She was never going to forget the Hybrid 2.
I actually kind of did. I'm not the biggest fan of them together, as much as they are a good team. Don't. They might break up. They might break up this week. Don't jinx it. Please don't, because they might break up. Right? If they lose this match at Wind Guts tonight, they are finished. And I will not be happy. Okay? So please don't. But you see what I mean? Like, you've got an abundance of tag teams, and you feel spoiled for choice. I mean, absolute spoil for choice, and it makes you happy. It's the same with NXT. I mean, yeah, they probably don't have nearly as much tag teams, but you've got like MSK, formerly known as the Rascals, who are former tag team champions in Impact, and now they're the current NXT team champions. You've got Grizzled Young Veterans. You've got El Hijo del Fantasma, well, Legado del Fantasma. You've got now Tommaso Ciampa, bloody Timothy Thatcher. Right, you've got tag teams just busting at the seams, and it makes you fall in love with tag team wrestling again. It actually makes you care, because you've got all this talent, and Undisputed Era did not count. They're not here anymore, Dave. Let it go. I had to deal with DIY broke up. You can just say we've got a support group, it's okay. just saying that we've got that support group.
At least Tommaso Ciampa didn't look like he was on a retirement plot in Florida. You know, with the hat and whatever the hell Kyle O'Reilly's dressed like.
I think you guys can agree that when it comes to NXT and AEW, it makes you fall in love with tag team wrestling, and it makes you care.
And not just men's tag team wrestling as well. Like, for NXT in particular, there's women's tag team wrestling now.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you did have the women's tag team tournament kicking around, which, with all fairness, it introduced us to the friendship of Anna Jay and Ty Conti.
Right. It did do some benefit, but it didn't really go anywhere afterwards.
In hindsight,
one half of those champions has fucked off because she's a bloody bitch.
See, in hindsight, you know, that tournament did. You said the only good thing that came from that tournament, it was Anna Jay and Ty Conti, you know. But if you look at it, I sat and watched that tournament going, anybody but Ali and Brandy.
Well, with all fairness, like, you've got that, but again, like I said, they've got that agreement or sort of whatever with Impact, and they've now got Knockout Tag Team Champions back, and that at the moment is Jordynne Grace and Rachel Ellering. You can't really disagree with the possibility of having, like, whenever Anna Jay comes back, her and Ty Conti taking on the Knockout Tag Team Champions.
Oh, it needs to happen. I need to get them back in. We'll talk. Moving more on the NXT side again, though, Strick, it was kind of like you mentioned earlier on, of course, that era of Zayn, Balor, you know, KO, you know, the kind of original era of NXT. But do you think that everybody talks about the whole women's evolution type stuff that helped propel it? Do you think maybe NXT probably wouldn't have got what it was today if it wasn't for that period of tag wrestling that they had for 3 or 4 years?
See, this is the thing. I think NXT, the new, compared to where it used to be, they've really dropped the ball. They have got good teams, don't get me wrong. The MSK boys, I'd never seen them before they done NXT, and these guys are really good. Plus, I like the fact that their gear looks like X-Pac stuff, and being the old fucker that I'm at, brilliant. But the NXT used to have, they've still got good tag teams, but just not got as much. But I mean, they used to have guys like the Ascension, obviously Undisputed Era, DIY. They had the Revival at one time. They had AOP. They had Sanity. They had, there's a massive list of tag teams they had. Even when they put Aleister Black and Ricochet together and they done the Viking Raiders, that was
a great match. That's
amazing.
But no, it seems like that we don't give a fuck about tag team wrestling for Raw and SmackDown is seeping down into NXT. And that's how I'm lit. Me and Sarah always said this on every takeover show that we've done. When they say, oh, the person lost season, they got up to the main roster, are you looking forward to it? We're like, no. And they go, oh, if Nakamura drops the title, he's gone up. I'm like, no. It's like Billy Madison. It's like, don't go home. Stay here. Stay as long as you can.
I think I can recall that on our like NXT call-up show, which, you know,
We used to absolutely dread it because they're going to get ruined.
I mean, we can't expect that about Johnny Gargano, because Johnny Gargano is going to be in NXT till he's in a Zimmer.
I think if Johnny Gargano ever get told to go to the main roster, he'd handcuff himself to the fucking ring.
Mind Tommaso Ciampa said if he ever gets moved to Raw or SmackDown, he might just call it quits.
I've said this numerous times. I says, if I ever went to NXT by some fucking miracle, if I went back to wrestling, if I ever went to NXT and enjoyed it and they said, right, you're going to the main roster, I'd be like, release me. I would just go, like, release me. I don't know why I go to the main roster. Why? I'm 5'8" and I'm never going to probably max out about 200 pounds. I'm just going to get shit kicked at me. I'm just going to get cannon foddered. So, nah, you're cool. Just release me. Just let me go. I'd fuck off somewhere like Impact or whatever, but I'd be like, nah, I don't want to go to main roster. I'd probably get a lot of fights because I'd call people dicks. But it's just, it's mental how much NXT's changed since it's became popular. But it was kind of, as Sarah said, when it wasn't really, no well known, but when it was a bit more, if you knew who these guys were in the indie circuit, you'd watch it. There was a lot of guys who were like, I only know Randy Orton, I only know Jeff Hardy, but we were like, oh, I know who Finn Balor is, I know who Neville is, I know, and you watch them, that was better, but then started getting more popular and you're like, ah, oh, what the fuck has happened? And you're like, the tag division's suffering because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry for the rant there, I had to get off my chest.
Nah, you're perfectly reasonable, you know, and Dave, you're the man who, you know, you've talked about Undisputed Era before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on the whole tag team debate between these two companies?
It's I think it's clear that AEW's tag division is a lot more stacked, because I mean, if you just look at the Casino Tag Team Battle Royal from a few months ago, you would see you could get 15 tag teams out of just one match, and it was a thing of beauty to watch, just seeing the diversity and the amount of talent that show has to offer. Even going as far back as, you know, the first tag team championship tournament, you know, you could see all the teams that were on offer. You know, you had Young Bucks, Lucha Brothers, Private Party even at one point. I think, you know, those guys have been heavily wasted in recent months as far as I'm concerned.
It's because Matt Hardy's gimmick sucks.
It's so bad.
But around that time, you know, we were talking about NXT's tag teams, where you had like Undisputed Era, AOP, and you know, that's sort of what inspired the initial Dusty Cup. Now I get, you know, most of those tag teams were sort of just makeshift teams put together for that particular purpose. But as the sort of years went by, you actually had a lot of legitimate tag teams that could potentially win. Obviously, Undisputed Era being one of them. You had DIY, you had the Forgotten Sons, you had anybody remember them? Never mind.
The Forgotten Sons. I keep forgetting other names.
Only Jackson Riker's left on Raw now. The other two have just gone.
Ah, well, he was the problematic one as well.
Yeah, but going off topic a bit here, the tag division has taken a bit. On NXT in particular, the tag team division has taken a bit of a dip, but I don't think that's through any fault of their own. I think they've had to sort of reinvent because of the pandemic, etc. But just looking at TakeOver Stand and Deliver, They had an outstanding triple threat tag team match with MSK, Grizzled Young Vets, and Legado del Fantasma. Arguably, match of the night on, I think it was match on night one, I think it was. But either way, it goes to show that the tag team division is alive and well, even with, you know, the sort of undercard tag teams such as Drake and Damo and Imperium as well. And you see, those two are interacting because of Wolf and Damo's links to Sanity. Like, that's going somewhere that doesn't revolve around the titles. And then you've got the old veterans like Ciampa and Thatcher, you know, who are there just to, you know, just to provide a sort of outside factor to it. So it's not like NXT's in a bit of a dip, but AEW just has more to offer in terms of its tag teams.
Yeah, I love it. I do love NXT.
This is a great idea. Don't tell anybody. Imagine putting Dexter Lumis with a Fiend. How fucking hilarious would that be?
That's like the most random tag team I think I've ever seen.
No, they're both nuts. They both like leather gloves. They like abducting people. How funny would that be?
I mean,
do you remember when Dexter Lumis was originally meant to be teaming with Velveteen Dream? Yeah, me neither.
Cricket.
You may wrap someone yourself and imagine that.
I mean, they both take the weird stuff to different levels. I mean, Strat mentioned Dexter Lumis. That is creepy as end at times, but you kind of like, yeah, I'll take it. You know, AEW had Brandi Rhodes' creepy stable.
The Nightmare Collective. Oh. Jesus wept.
That had potential, all right.
No, it didn't.
Not Sarah.
Sarah, I know you're a fan of Brandi, but come on, The Nightmare Collective was dead on arrival. It was awful.
I mean, I use the Nightmare Collective now because at the time I was like, right, the things I really hate, despise about this company are them and the Dark Order. But the Dark Order are amazing now because they're funny, they're comic.
I was part of the Dark Order before it was even cool, so then you start, Stephen.
I guess you've seen me watching when the footy day we first started. I did not like Evo Uno, and I thought Stu Grayson was like an anorexic god of war.
Do no wrong.
Look at Stu Grayson, he looks like an anorexic god of war, and I was like, Evo Uno, he's lost a shit ton of weight, the guy now. And I watched them on interviews, and the two of them are fucking hilarious. The one that was in the ring, he says, who do you look like? And Stu Grayson's like that. Ryan Reynolds, Hugh Jackman, anybody with good hair I kind of look like. And Evo Uno, they're like, who do you look like? He says, under the mask, I look like Ryan Gosling for Drive. What? Just shit like that.
Evil Uno can do no wrong. He can do no wrong.
At least he's not hanging about with the creepers anymore. The creepers were just
that made a
bad.
Human chair. Yeah, that
was weird.
That never went well.
I'm trying to think of a similarly bad thing in NXT because the ones are kind of just guff,
like teams or like shit gimmicks.
Shit gimmicks.
See, I don't think it's been a while, but I can't really recall any really bad NXT gimmicks because they haven't had any awful ones. Not that I'm aware of.
I've got one, and you're going to hate me for this. Cameron Grimes.
What?
Wait, no. Hear me out. Why? Why does he look like a homeless person being rich? Why does he look like a rich homeless?
His current gimmick I can't stand, but with all fairness. His gimmick before he became the million dollar or the $1,000 man was basically the same gimmick he had in TNA, and I was just like, you know what, it's the exact same, I love you.
No, but it's like, you see him and you go, you can afford a Lamborghini because you've not had a shower in like 10 years. That's how you can afford your Lamborghini, you don't pay your water bill. Is that how he's rich? He didn't buy soap?
No, he invested in Bitcoin apparently.
COVID scared of catching him.
I mean, AEW's got loads of... I think AEW's got so many really good ones that you kind of forget the bad ones at times. I mean, as I say...
A lot of AEW gimmicks are, like, so out there that you're just like, I kind of have to love it. Like, there is just some that you're just like, what?
Yeah, there's a... Chris Statlander's a good exception. I mean, and an alien from the Andromeda Galaxy.
Don't you dare, Stephen. I know exactly what you're going to say because you bashed her before she went off an injury, so... Then you start. Leave my alien alone.
No, then Uranus jokes, nah.
No. Oh, following up. Well, see, like, the fact that she's now joined up with Best Friends, because obviously she is friends with Orange Cassidy, and their matches before AEW even existed was the best ever. But see their current new t-shirt, I've got it on the way. It is like E.T. So we've got the Best Friends at the back of the bike, Orange Cassidy in the middle, and Chris Statlander has got a little blanket in the basket.
I've seen that, actually, yeah. Oh, can I just say as well, this week, happy birthday, Orange Cassidy.
That's a gimmick it shouldn't work. He's 47.
37.
Who said 47 there?
Like that. Like, holy fuck.
That's
not that how he's no age? He doesn't move.
You mentioned Matt Hardy's gimmick. I mean, Matt Hardy needs to retire, sadly, for him. He's been great in his day, but he's just...
His current gimmick could have been really good.
It's kicking a dead horse at this stage.
It was good when they first started out with Private Party, and they had like the whole thing with Hangman. Like, it had a purpose. But then when they had Butcher and Blade randomly join them because Eddie Kingston decided that he was going to be pals with Jon Moxley again, like, that made no sense. And the fact that Ali is all of a sudden wrestling again after taking at least a year to 2 years off.
Yeah, that Butcher and Blade. Poor guys. We talked about tag teams. We forgot. Did we even mention Butcher and Blade?
No, but they could be so good.
There's potential there, definitely.
They came in amazingly hot, and they came in and wrecked Cody. And I'm like, these guys have got to do well. And then, kind of seeing as H2, they just kind of went down and down, and you're like, then they came out with the white pirate gear, whatever the fuck that was. You look like painter decorators. Why? Fuck knows, but who? But see the thing with the AEW, so you're talking about bad gimmicks. See, if they came out with a bad gimmick, they just drop it.
Like Brandy, you know what is a bad gimmick?
Aye, but Brandy came out with the Nightmare Collective, was trying to be cheeky on commentary, came across an arsehole, and they just dropped the gimmick. Unlike WWE, who fucking, like, Lashley and Lana.
They just, oh God!
Gone with it, and you let this die. Just call it a day. Like, put it on, because every time they two done a promo, somebody put a Brazzers or a fucking Pornhub logo at the bottom. Every single promo, I'm like, this is what people are doing with us. Just leave it, let it go. I'm like, please don't let her be in the Hurt Business, because imagine her and Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, it'll just be straight on Pornhub.
Well, it's a good thing that those two broke up as well, so it doesn't have to happen. You're okay, Strack.
WWE, you're
going to
like this. It's like, we don't like it.
Well, WWE did say they wanted to be like a little bit more risque and raunchier.
Oh. I grew up in the Attitude Era. You're no going to get riskier and raunchier than Val Venus having his dick cut off. People licking Vince's arse, or Rikishi shoved his arse in your face, or Eddie Guerrero beating up China, or the fuck else happened. I took a lot of impact damage to me.
Undertaker trying to embalm Stone Cold or something.
Ah, yes, he did that.
Sable came out in a bikini, which was two handprints on her tits. Beat that. Go for it.
I mean,
you can't.
You're not going to get, you know, nobody's going to be saying that.
You're a young member for a hand.
Being fucking a dead body. I can continue.
Anyway, back to the topic. Back to the topic at hand, we were talking really bad gimmicks. I mean, if we talk about really bad gimmicks, Sting goes to AEW because he's not getting treated right, but yet he goes there and does the same thing every single week.
He gets interviewed by Tony Schiavone every single week. It's just because it's like they've missed so much time together. It only has to be Tony.
I've been listening to him doing a year and a half because of this pandemic. You won't let me go on. I want every single thing with this, you know.
Well, in all fairness, you and Dave somehow got an invite to, like, well, no, Grant and Dave got an invite to yours, and none of the rest of us did.
And I only stay up the road.
You can come anytime.
guess who's going to wake up with me in your room at 3 o'clock in the morning?
I mean, no.
You said anytime. Okay. You said anytime. He did actually.
Anyway.
So, Stephen, please take control of this again because we are lunatics.
Pay-per-views. Let's talk about pay-per-views.
No, you reckon this won't be on pay-per-view. Too many witnesses.
Sarah, please, they don't have, both these brands don't have a lot of pay-per-views.
Oh, it's so refreshing.
Is that a good thing?
It's so refreshing. Like, yeah, I know that WWE have their big four and everything, but then they've got like a pay-per-view at the end, either to the end or middle of every month, whereas a pay-per-view now for NXT, even though it did used to be a guaranteed takeover before each big show, we don't actually know when we're guaranteed to get one now, because we got one on Valentine's Day. We got one just like the Tuesday. It was the Tuesday before Mania we got one, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tuesday, so, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Like a midweek 2-day pay-per-view, which, see that? That's really refreshing. AEW doing literally about 4 big shows, maybe 5 a year. But it's all nicely spaced out and you've got like room on the card to build up. And then they have like special shows, like Blood and Guts is finally happening. And like, I'm more glad that it's happening with 2 stables that are actually half decent instead of trying to pit the Nightmare family, whatever the fuck that is now, against the Inner Circle. Like, if you think of it now, you're like, I'm glad they waited for it.
At least it's not the Nightmare family versus the Nightmare Factory.
It's just the factory.
It's QT Marshall, don't give a fick.
Exactly. But it's stuff like that, like, it makes you want to care, because it's like, yeah, this big pay-per-view, yeah, it's got like the buy-in show that's free to usually watch. I don't know if ITV are still doing it for free or anything, but then like you can pay so much for it on Fight, or pay so much via ITV box office if they're still doing it.
PlayStation, or
on PlayStation, it feels more important. Like, you don't see UFC doing a big fight every single month of the year. They've got like a big thing that they like to build everything towards, and that's what I like with NXT and AEW, is the fact that you don't feel burned out when watching it. It's not difficult to keep up with. Like, they'll do like a great rundown of like the feuds and how they got there, like in the packages, like the video packages before the pay-per-views for each match. You feel caught up. You're like, right, I know why this is happening. I'm invested in this story. It's not just, oh shit, we don't have a women's match. Fuck. You, off you go. Like,
what's they do.
Like, this is what they're doing, like, with Britt Baker at the moment, is that she's been pushing to be the face of the women's division for over a year now, like, since she properly turned heel and brought in her dentist gimmick. That, see, her working her way up the rankings, like that, putting into the story, and like the small, she doesn't even need to do matches every week. I mean, this is her first match on Dynamite in about 4 or 5 weeks, so it makes you want to actually invest in this woman's storyline, because not just because she is part of my draft team, that I do honestly believe that she will be the next AEW Women's World Champion, because it just needs a bit of a change. But at least there's a storyline that she's working her way up the rankings. She's going to prove to everybody to do this, and she's going to prove everybody wrong. Like, they do that in NXT, like this, like the whole thing with, like, say, Grizzled Young Veterans and Tommaso Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher having a replay from the Dusty Classic in order to prove their number one contendership to MSK. It's stuff like that. It makes you invested. Whereas when it comes to WWE, pay-per-view every month, they're just like, right, okay, we have 4 weeks to build this up. Like, I said this on Past Central, that every single time of Backlash, a single pay-per-view after WrestleMania is essentially just a replay of WrestleMania. It's just rematches. Because it's the same when they used to go right on tour in the UK right after WrestleMania, and it was always called the WrestleMania Revenge Tour, because it's basically just a replay. And when they, especially because they do pay-per-view, like gimmick pay-per-views now, that it's extremely forced. Like, you're like, right, what's going to be the tables match? What's going to be the street fight? What's going to be like this, that, the next thing? Like the last man standing? What's going to be the Hell in a Cell match? Like, at least with AEW and NXT, it could be anything. Like, they don't center it around a specific gimmick, and that's what's really refreshing.
Other than War Games, you know, that's the only one from NXT.
Yeah,
really.
War Games is the exception.
But you say about Britt Baker, you know, I get the Britt Baker thing. What I don't get is she lost the match, but yet Thunder Rosa's on Dark Elevation and Dark, doing absolutely nothing on Dynamite. But hey, that's an aside. But Dave, Sarah mentioned the kind of big feel of these type of pay-per-views, you had a lead into them, and I think back in the, well, even going to before WrestleMania, the go-home show for these pay-per-views is always should be a massive thing. In the 90s and the 80s in WWE, WCW as well, at that time it was a big thing. And with so much pay-per-views on the main roster, they don't get that as much anymore, but with these two, as Sarah said, you kind of get that. I mean, we talk, was it, I can't mind the pay-per-view, was it, was it Full Gear, the one last year before the pandemic?
Yeah, Full Gear.
It was the whole build towards the Cody MJF match. I think it was on the Go Home show he had that match with Wardlow. Mm-hmm. And I said this at the time, it's the best pre-pay-per-view stretch to a match that I've seen in God knows how long. The match sucks. I will say that forever. Cody MJF is an absolute terrible match, and no wonder they cut the feud after that. But to have, by having so less pay-per-views, it makes you kind of lead to that stretch, and your big final show, which should be the one to sell the pay-per-view, sells the pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. That's the job.
Yeah. So, and that's what NXT and AEW both do so well. Like, you know, as Sarah said, their big events, you know, their takeovers and their, you know, whether it's Double or Nothing, All Out, Full Gear, Revolution, whatever, you know, we can collectively call them. It's, they have months and months of time to build, you know, towards these massive events. But what allows them, you know, in hindsight, is a bit of breathing room to sort of have a sort of halfway feud to sort of get to that point and build the storyline over time. Because take next week's NXT, for example, you've got Raquel Gonzalez in a sort of mini feud with Mercedes Martinez, you know, a very solid title defense for her first sort of major championship defense. But who's to say, you know, that come the next takeover, she might end up facing her pal Dakota Kai in some aspect? Because, you know, you can sort of see these interactions between the two of them. You think, oh, this has the potential to go somewhere. So it lingers in the back of your mind, but let's drag it out. Let's tell a story behind it. And then when the takeover comes around, you know, that's it. Boom, it's in the right spot and it doesn't drag and it doesn't burn out. And yeah, and the go home show is obviously got to be the line in the sand or the sort of stamp to say, this is where the battle lines are drawn. This is the feud that's going to cause tension. And, you know, it helps sort of plug any missing gaps for pay-per-views. And that's something NXT, I think, is pretty good at. You know, if they've got a stat card with sort of three or four high-profile matches and they need one more just to sort of complete out the card, like, they could do that on the go-home show if they wanted to say, like, and I think the most recent example I've got is Kushida and Pete Dunne. They eliminated each other in that Battle Royal for the Gauntlet Eliminator, and then almost immediately they were announced they were going to face each other. I mean, that had no prior feud or build towards it, but it's two international stars that are highly respected the world over, and they're going at it in an NXT ring. That sells on its own. So it's obviously trying to find that balance between, like, a feud that's built up for quite a while and something you could instantaneously book in an instant and people will be happy to see it.
Yeah, Strack, one thing I think is different between NXT and AEW in terms of these pay-per-views is I feel like with AEW, they build you towards the pay-per-view, as I say, with that kind of stretch, and that's what makes you watch it. While as with NXT, though, I kind of feel like because of the past reputations of takeovers, I could not watch an NXT weekly show in about 4 to 5 weeks, but I'll still tune into the takeover because everything else is good. Do you think that's a valid argument to make in terms of the two?
See, I think, right, this is what I think kind of makes it better, at being less is more. Every week, every month, you know, is guaranteed a pay-per-view with WWE. And how many times do we do the sweeps and we pretty much guess what's going to happen? Like, Hockney and Scott are mostly almost bang on the money every single time, right? Because, you know, he only won that title a month ago. He's not going to drop it. She only got that title 2 weeks ago. She's not going to drop it. Whereas NXT having a fast-paced out pay-per-view and AEW having a fast-paced out pay-per-view, me and Sarah and Quacky, we used to talk about them on the show at the time, say, who do you think is going to walk out with the, before the North American title became a thing, the NXT, the tag titles, and you're like, he can take it. Because he's had it for 4 months now. He could drop this, or he could hold it and have it for another 4 months. You don't know. Same with AEW, obviously the new Kenny Omega's dropping dick. He's just going to be collecting stuff now. I think he's going to go to like fucking Top Man and just start beating people up for their belts. But there's a possibility when you go, he could drop this because he's hid it for so long. WWE now don't. Back when I say it was the perfect age yet. 1999, I think it was it 11 times the WWE title changed hands.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
Aye.
In like 2000 or 2001.
Aye, 2000 or two. I think it was 2000. It changed like 9 or 11 times. It was like on a Raw, then a pay per view, then and it happened so much, and you're like, that could happen then, but no, WWE, you're like, it's not going to happen. It's not. The biggest shock we've had since this podcast, I think, was probably AJ winning after Jinder in Manchester. Nobody fucking seen that coming, but that is what a massive shock is. But yeah, WWE pay per view, she goes, he's not going to drop that. He ain't going to drop that. He's not going to, nah, he'll still keep that. But yet, when you watch AEW or NXT, somebody wins it, like, don't speak to the air, drop the tag titles to the War Raiders, you're like, whoa, the fuck just happened there? And then you've got like the North American title changing, which was really good. You've got the TNT title, which the new, I think they need to take off of Darby Allin, and they need to start kind of passing that about. Wouldn't they mind Scorpio Sky, wouldn't they really mind Miro, Jungle Boy, Rey Fenix, there's a list of guys, I wouldn't actually be raging. I actually wanted John Silver to take it for a while. Imagine John Silver coming out with the Being Elite title and the TNT title. That'd be piss funny. But I think that's what helps it being spaced apart, is it does give you a chance of anything could happen. He could drop this, or they could become the new champion. And it gives, I think, the guys and all on the shows watching week in, week out, he'd work well with him. Because as Sarah says, you've only got 4 weeks to build a feud. You start seeing the guys working together for 2 weeks, and you're like, shit, they don't work together, but we're too late, we can't call it. So we just need to put them on the show. The match is going to be shit, but there's nothing we can do about it. We'll just need to wait till after the show. Whereas if you've got 3 months between a pay-per-view, you can put two guys together and go, oh, they're not working. Pull them apart, we'll try something else. And then come to the pay-per-view, you've got that. Oh, he works really well with him. I don't think he'd work well with him. Perfect example, EC3 and Velveteen Dream. Two of them are great on the mic. Their match was utterly pish. Mm-hmm. But yet, Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream was fucking tremendous. So, it does give bookers chances to see, oh, he'd work well with him. Wilson, as you said, with Cody and MJF, their styles are too similar. Mm-hmm. That's why it didn't work. But if you had Cody against Kenny, I'd be class. I don't think Cody against Nick Aldis would work. I'm going to say that the new, because people are like, oh, and they say they did have a good match, but I don't see how it would be a good match because they're too similar. But that gives the guys the chance to go, right, fuck it, that ain't working, pick somebody else. Oh, that's doing well, go with that.
Right, now this is an AEW versus NXT show after all, so to round off the show, I'm going to end it with a surprise bit of fun element for you guys. I'm going to go round yous all a few times. I'm going to give yous an AEW wrestler and an NXT wrestler. And I want you to tell me, just quickly, no thoughts, no big thoughts, which one of the two is going to be a bigger star in 5 years' time?
Oh. Ooh, I like this.
I'm good at this.
Dave, I'm actually going to start with you.
Okay.
Nyla Rose or Shotzi Blackheart?
Shotzi Blackheart.
Nice wee easy one for you there, Dave.
Yeah, that was easy.
Sarah, Ethan Page or Isaiah Swerve Scott?
Off the top of my head, I would probably... Nah, you know what? Ethan Page. Ethan Page, absolutely.
Interesting. Okay. Strack, best friends or the grizzled young veterans?
Best friends.
Ooh,
interesting. Dave,
because I know it's no long points, but I don't think Jim Grizzle Young Vetted would get back on the main roster. I don't think they would, so I think best friends have got a better chance.
Oh, it's interesting. That's definitely one I'd put in there. Dave, I'm trying to think of a really hard one for you.
Yeah, he got an easy one last time.
All right, Dave, I've got
Steven,
one.
Hurry up.
Tay Conti or Dakota Kai?
Tay Conti.
Sarah.
Yeah.
MJF or Adam Cole?
Baby.
MJF.
What?
Easy. Easy. In 5 years' time, MJF.
Well, he's got you. That's because he's got youth on his side. That's why.
Exactly. And if he's that good already, how, imagine how good he's going to be in 5 years.
And he's got Jericho as a teacher.
Exactly.
Look at Sammy Guevara.
And Tully Blanchard.
Okay. Strack. Karrion Kross or Wardlow?
I don't see the appeal of Karrion Kross. I'd say Wardlow. I see him snapping and leather the living piss out of MJF.
Wardlow is a future champion. With all fairness,
yeah, we do beef up Wardlow on this show a fair bit.
Oh yeah, we stan him.
I don't know future champion, but I think he's definitely got the potential to be a hitter.
Oh, this is a good one.
Keep going.
Oh, it's back to me now. Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Cage or Bronson Reed?
Easy.
Oh. Bronson Reed.
Bronson. Brian Cage barely talk for shit.
Oh, honestly, that was a tough one.
Oh, I've got a tough one for Sarah.
Who?
Britt Baker or Io Shirai?
Oh.
I mean. See what you mean, bigger star? Because Io is already a really big star, and Britt has a lot of potential.
Who's going to be bigger? Who's going to be bigger than 5 years?
I would hope to say Britt Baker, but probably Io Shirai. I would like to say Britt. Like, if she keeps going the way she's going, she will be a mega star. She's definitely come on since, you know, her initial debut.
Right, okay. It's an interesting one.
We should have just done this for the entire podcast.
I know. I'm not going to lie. I thought about it 10 minutes ago. I was going to see how long. Okay, Strack.
Okay, why am I heating? I'm dreading you don't ask me this.
Don't tell him.
I know he'll figure it out.
Raquel Gonzalez or Hikaru Shida?
Shida.
Interesting.
Okay, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Dunne or Orange Cassidy?
Oh!
Pete Dunne.
Really? Alright.
Yeah. Largely because
he's got age on the size, but oh my god. Orange is just inevitable. Sorry. I like this game.
Okay, Sarah. Ricky Starks or Santos Escobar?
Oh, Ricky Starks. Easy. Easy. I love Ricky Starks. Absolutely love him. That's nothing to say about like Santos Escobar, but considering that pretty much what he's done doing right now in NXT is basically the same what he did in Impact when he was teaming with who is now Joaquin Wild.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Okay, Strick. I will give you Miro and Walter.
Miro. Please say that. Walter doesn't like being dealt with today. Example, Survivor Series. He get tell, don't chop the fuck out of Seth Rollins. He went, put me in first. Miro.
Shame.
I'm trying to think of a tough one for Dave here. Okay, this could go either way, because you could take this either way, right? LA Knight or Eddie Kingston?
Oh, jeez. Eddie Kingston.
Absolutely.
Okay, Sarah. Dexter Lumis or Sean Spears?
Dexter Lumis, because Sean Spears unfortunately has no chance. Unfortunately.
Poor him.
Give me a better one next time.
Well, I've got one for you while you're looking for me.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Austin Theory, Will Hobbs. You reckon?
I think so.
If he takes a weird snarky grin off his face.
Yeah. Tell you what, Stevie, I've got one for you.
What?
Kushida or Luchasaurus?
Kushida. Easy.
I feel like I need to say one now. Oh, right, okay. I've got one. MSK or Jungle Express. Jurassic Express, sorry. Not Jungle Express.
Oh, that's a tough one. I go with MSK just.
Exactly.
Just. All right, Strack, I've got one for you. Anna Jay or Tegan Knox?
Anna Jay, because Tegan Knox's knees are falling apart.
Mm. Yeah, she might be back.
Anna Jay's got the most potential. She's in Dark Order as well. Brody Lee saw something in her.
Deegan Knox has had, what, 3 knee surgeries?
Who?
Deegan Knox.
Right. I will go round use one more time.
Mm-hmm.
Starting with Dave. Tony Storm or Jade Cargill?
Tony Storm.
Oh, that's bold.
I'm just going instinctively here, that's all.
Do you know who Jade Cargill is?
I know who she is, yeah.
Okay, Sarah.
Give me the hardest of hardest.
This might be easy for you, it might be hard for you, but I'm just going to say it. Okay. Kyle O'Reilly or Darby Allin?
Darby Allin.
I thought that was going to be easy or hard. I thought it was going to be one of the two.
It would have been hard, unfortunately, Kyle O'Reilly, just as much as I love him, his singles thing, he needs Bobby back. He needs to be in a team. It's not for me.
Yeah.
Whereas Darby doesn't speak that much, but he's, you know, a bit crazy in the ring. Like his match with Cody, chef kisses.
Kyle needs to go fishing.
He needs to get his Bobby fish back.
He needs to get his Bobby back.
Okay. Bobby. To end it, I'm just going to throw you a left winger. That's got nothing to do with NXT. Who's going to be a bigger star in five years' time? QT Marshall, Anthony Ogogo, the big guy with the beard, or Arn Solo?
I don't know who the fuck they are.
Anthony Ogogo is going to be the biggest star. They are the factory.
Who's got
big guy with the beard?
Oh, is this Bailey's ex-man, QT Marshall, yes. The other guy?
Aye.
Yeah.
Drew the bit of a harder man.
What?
Johnny Gargano or Pentagon?
Oh.
That's what I was shaking my tail. You'd ask me because I've not got an answer for that.
Well, can you give us an answer?
I can't pick between the two because they're two of
them. I mean, you can ask Johnny Gargano or Hangman Adam Page.
Hangman.
Definitely Hangman for me.
There was some that I thought, yeah, it's easy. I tried to find left wing once and then I couldn't find.
Well, that's when you ask, like, Dakota Kai or Red Velvet.
Yeah.
I won!
Dakota Kai.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, what? I didn't quite hear you.
Indy Hartwell or Chris Statlander?
Chris Statlander.
Aye, Statlander.
One last one.
Yeah, this is fun.
This is for all of us.
One last one. Dave, Cody or Finn Balor?
Cody. Ugh. Oh, I feel bad for saying that now.
You feel dirty now, don't you?
Yeah.
Oh no, Boston, I have to go have a shower in my bed.
Dave's gonna have to like go for like a bleach shower, be like, I feel dirty, get to
help me. I betrayed the prince.
Sarah.
Yeah.
Leon Ruff or Marco Stunt?
Marco Stunt, definitely.
Oh my
Marco
god.
Marco is amazing. Hey. He has got
put them together, they make a normal sized human being.
He's got little dog syndrome. He is amazing. Like any single time someone tries to pick a fight, he's right on and going, let me at them, let me at them. You can't even fault the boy.
Finally, for Strack, Michael Nakazawa or Kona Reeves?
That's not fair, one's injured.
Although, Michael Nakazawa, who's the other one?
Kona Reeves.
That's not fair.
Oh, is that the blonde boy?
Yeah, the Hawaiian fella.
I'd probably say that Kona Reeves boy.
Michael Nakazawa for the win! You should have said Brandon Cutler. Brandon Cutler can be a star. He actually could if he really wanted to be.
Oh, jeez.
I've been watching the play Among Us way too much.
See when you ask the Balor one, I'm like,
You know who is actually a star? Let me just say this. Alex Abrahantis, right? The guy that's translating to Penta. Aye, the guy who translates for Penta, he's a star. He is a star.
Anyway, I thought that was a nice, fun way to round off this AEW versus NXT show. Plenty of good discussion, plenty of random discussion, and some quickfire to end the show. What else can you ask for on a podcast? You know, but...
Like God, if you... we back conversation, we back discussion, then rapid fire.
I mean, we should just find out like how many people actually agree with us.
Yes, if you agree or disagree with any of these opinions stated in the quickfire or just in the podcast in general, please don't tell me.
Oh no, come on, I want controversy. Nah, I want someone to...
do get in touch with us on our social medias with any feedback on the show, is good, bad, indifferent, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Suplex Retweet. We've got so much great content. You know, we've got this feature show on a Tuesday Central and a Thursday, Saturday Draft Live and a Saturday, you know, or if it wasn't, then it would just not be called Saturday Draft Live. And loads of stuff as well on the YouTube channel all the time. Next week here on the feature show, we've actually got a show where we'll be going through the history of the best of the Super Juniors tournament.
Yes!
Which Woo! Should be pretty fun. I need to brush up on my history for that particular show.
I get to talk about Harambe!
Jesus God. Lots of great shows.
I'll bring Daryl.
We have lots of great shows coming up over the next couple of months. We've got an AJ Styles show. We've got the best worst TNA champions. We've got a show on Mick Foley. And to make Sarah happy, we have a show coming up in a couple of months on Christian. So... So
I
much
know stuff. He's a recognition he deserves.
So much stuff coming up over the next couple of months, so please hit the big subscribe button to get all that content directly anytime it drops. For myself, Stephen Wilson, I'd like to thank my panel, who have been very, very good fun on this particular evening today. To Dave, thank you very much.
Thanking you.
To Sarah, thank you.
It's been very fun.
And to Strack, thank you.
Are you in a suit jacket?
Me?
Oh, Wilson.
No, I'm wearing a hoodie. I'm wearing a hoodie with no hood.
Right, I thought you were in a suit jacket. I was going to drive to you a bit and slap you.
I thought we're trousers in a year and a half.
Too much information.
Aye, remember you lived 15 feet at school? You fucking remember that?
I'm wearing jeans. I've just not worn trousers.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we'll see you next time.
There now follows an enthusiastic advertisement for Quiz Showdown. Hello guys, welcome to Quiz Showdown. I'm Daniel Campbell, and in this show you're going to see the members of the Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet team go through a very strange quiz. We don't know what the heck's going on with it, but you're going to have to watch to find out. Go check out on the YouTube channel now. That was an enthusiastic advert for Quiz Showdown.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.